Hey everybody, Rob here, and we are here with a impromptu Survivor exit interview. I wasn't sure if this was going to happen, but those of you guys who know, we had RC St. Amour scheduled to join us on Thursday morning, but she couldn't talk to us because she was evacuated because of Hurricane Sandy, like a lot of people. And so we are going to have an interview with her. She was able to make some time in her schedule to do some interviews today about her Survivor experience. And so we're lucky enough to talk to RC in just a couple of minutes. But I just wanted to talk about, and I felt, you know, I wish I would have talked more about this last week. But, you know, we watched the special on Friday night with out of New York with all of the, you know, the video and everything. And, you know, we were really just very moved by everything that's going on back in New York. And just seeing on Facebook, Nicole and I are from Long Island as well. People that we went to high school and just seeing on Facebook that, you know, that people have just totally have been wiped out. And we just wanted to try to do whatever we can to just to raise awareness that, you know, people out there are still need help. And if you have not yet and you can afford to, I just wanted to give out the number here one more time. If you want to send $10 to the Red Cross for relief efforts of Hurricane Sandy, you can do it on your cell phone. Text the words Red Cross, all one word, to 90999. And there are people out there, you know, who just lost everything. And I'm sure you don't need, you know, some guy who was on a reality show to tell you any of this stuff. But I just, you know, felt like it was important enough to say something. And so there it is. So let's go ahead and talk to a woman who was very affected by Hurricane Sandy and a big part of this Survivor season so far. Here is RC St. Amour. RC, are you there?
Hi, Rob.
RC, first off, how are you doing?
Oh, God. It was terrible. We had Hurricane Sandy come in last week. And, you know, New York is just not built for hurricanes. And so my entire apartment was completely flooded, and we still don't have power, electricity. I'm still not allowed in the building out on Long Island. My parents' house specifically had a lot of trees down and a little bit of flooding, but my grandfather's house was really, really demolished, as well as a lot of my girlfriends and friends in Long Beach and Breezy Point. So it was really just devastating.
Yeah, my family is from Wantagh, and so is Nicole's. And while, you know, my mom is still without power and Nicole's parents are without power, I mean, the houses did not get hit, but Nicole's brother got his house flooded and everything. So I just want to take, you know, just remind people, we said it at the top of the show, if it's not too late. If you want to send some money to the relief efforts, you can send $10 on your phone. Text the word Red Cross to 90999, and I'm sure RC can attest that there are a lot of people out there who need it right now.
Thank you so much, Rob, for promoting that. Really, thank you, anybody who can donate. It's really a tragedy that's happening, and we really appreciate anything that can be done for us. So thank you, guys.
Well, nothing trivializes the game of Survivor like real life, but that's what we're here to talk about. So let's get into it.
It's funny that I got kicked off on, you know, when this is happening, because it really does put in perspective what's important in life. But yes, it was tragedy that I got voted out.
Absolutely. Yeah. And luckily for you, you had experience living without power. And so you could show people a thing or two about how to start a fire and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Well, I practiced, you know, with a flint and starting fire at home. So I was just joking around the entire time. I'm like, let's go get some sticks. I'll start a fire in the middle of our living room. We'll be okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into it, RC. And so I have to ask you, so it was such a crazy vote on Wednesday night with, you know, five people voting for Penner and then four people voting for you. Scoopin ends up even voting for Penner, which I couldn't believe that. So did you have any clue what was going on?
You know, I had a clue, yes. So we talked at length about the possibility of me getting votes, Penner getting votes, and Pete getting votes. And we knew that two idols were up for grabs. I did not think, obviously, Malcolm had an idol or was going to play it, so that really didn't factor into our decision. So I definitely thought that I was going to get votes and that they were targeting me. But, I mean, I thought that I had made a very rational argument and the right argument for Jeff and Carter and Denise to, you know, take obviously Mean Scoop and who were begging to be going with them and have the majority. And so, no, I mean, I definitely knew I was going to get votes. Did I know I was going to get voted out? No, but I certainly knew it was a possibility.
Why do you think Mike voted for Penner? Because from everything we saw on the show, you guys were tight from day one on the show.
Yeah, you know, I can't really answer that, so you're going to have to ask him, because it was just as much of a shock to me to see him.
Know.
No, I did not know at the time. Obviously, I knew I got one vote with me. I now know that it was Penner and not Michael. You know, I understand that it's an individual game, and only one person can win the money and be the sole survivor. But I have to say that if I was in Michael's position, I would not have made that same decision that he did. I'm a very loyal person, and especially to the degree that we had each other, I thought he was going to keep with that. So I'm glad that everyone else is as shocked or as upset with his decision as I am.
Now, how about Malcolm and Denise? Now, you guys had Malcolm. The other tribe had Denise. Did either side realize just how tight Malcolm and Denise were going to be and how they would be instantly hooking back up at the merge?
So the problem was that, like, I'm such a fan of the show that, like, I saw everything. Like, nothing sort of, like, escaped me in terms of, like, who's with who or who wasn't with who and what was going on. The problem was that I was on an island with non-thinkers. And so I would try to have these conversations with people, and they just didn't want to hear it. I remember having a conversation with Jeff before I got voted out that said, don't trust Malcolm, don't trust Malcolm, don't trust Malcolm. And, like, time after time after time, he keeps skating on by, and people are targeting me. It's like, it's a little shocking, and I hope people are equally as shocked that, like, these four guys are like, she's dangerous, and she's a threat, and we have to get her out. It's a huge compliment to me that I caused so much, nervousness in the game compared to other people who should have really been targeted.
Okay, well, let's talk about your original tribe over at Tandang. And everything started off really good with you early on in the game. You had an alliance with Abby Maria and with Pete, and then you brought in Scoopin. But then everything seemed to all go awry once you stumbled onto the clue to the hidden immunity idol.
Well, things started getting awry first, though, really. Like, you know, Abby started going a little nutso earlier on. So certainly it was a catalyst, but, you know, the trouble in paradise was brewing.
Definitely. So, but what seemed to really somehow, or take us through this whole thing with the clue, and you wanted her to go and look for the hidden immunity idol, and she wouldn't look for the hidden immunity idol with you, and then found it on her own, and then worked with Pete with the idol.
Yeah, so the problem was that it was raining so much that we knew it was a camp, but we needed one person to make a diversion so that the other person could look for it. And it was me constantly saying, hey, let's make a diversion so I could look for it. And clearly you can see that she didn't want to do that because she wanted it for herself. So for me, I was even like willing, if she wanted the idol, take the idol. I don't care. Like, you can hold possession of it. I thought it was a tool that we could use together instead of apart, especially because, you know, I found the clue and she saw me find it. So I had no choice but to try and work with her. And so I was really trying to use it as a tool to bring us together. I just didn't realize the extent of her hatred for me. That is really kind of founded. Like, I do not blame her for hating me as much as she, you know, did in the show or even after the show, because, you know, I'm the exact opposite of who Abby is, and I'm everything really that she isn't. So for her to target me and hate me and be jealous of me or whatever, you know, I don't blame her, and I don't think anybody can really blame her.
Interesting. You're saying we hate what we don't, either what we hate about ourselves or what we lack in ourselves.
Oh yeah. Especially, I was, in challenges, pivotal to winning challenges. And, you know, she was asked to sit out of all challenges because she really wasn't adding to anything. And so, yeah, I certainly think that, she wanted to target me because she was threatened more than she saw us aligning together and being a good pair. And that's the hardest part in Survivor. I'm sure you know this too. It's pairs are very dangerous. And so if you can find someone like Malcolm did that will be loyal to you, that's invaluable in the game. And sometimes you can't rely on that.
Yeah, it's good to have a buddy, just like when you go swimming.
Swim with a buddy sometimes.
And you're a good swimmer, so you know this. But let's.
Yeah.
How about this thing that Pete did where he took the hidden immunity idol clue and then put it in your bag and then sort of, oh, hey, what's this going on over here? Where the clue sort of fell out when everybody was in the shelter. Did you know that that there was foul play involved at the time and to the extent of what we saw on the show?
I mean, I certainly knew that there was foul play in motion. Now, the problem was the fallout from it was so deep that they can't even show it to you on TV. So everyone literally stopped talking to me and Michael after this. And you hear us a couple times saying we're ostracized and no one will talk to us. But like the depth of which our tribe would not look at us or talk to us, even if we tried to like start conversations, ran so deep. You have no idea as a viewer sitting at home. And so we really, I had no possibility to see, even have a rational conversation, with her or with anybody else to try to explain it or figure it out or whatever. And so, you know, I really tried to, you know, put it out of my mind and move forward and not dwell on what happened, but really take that and use it at all as I possibly could for future endeavors.
Mm-hmm. Why was there so much animosity towards Michael through the whole game? Was it because he was a returning player? That was it?
I have no idea, because obviously I love Michael. Even today, even after the vote, I still love him. I don't know. You're going to have to ask them, because, you know, same thing with me. It's like the hatred just ran so deep. And I hope everyone's sitting at home scratching their heads as much as we were scratching our heads while we were playing.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about Pete? Now, he's, you know, talks a big game to the camera and everything about all these plans that he has going on. I mean, I saw that there was a point where you were actually getting into an argument with Pete over it. You said, I know you have something to do with this. And he said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. But
right.
Did you have any extent to the degree that Pete was sort of creating problems?
No, certainly. I always thought that he was whispering in Abby's ear. So I actually also didn't think that it was Abby that was coming up with these concepts all on her own.
Right.
Because I don't know if she is capable of coming up with some of this stuff on her own. I always thought it was Pete that was sort of like a little bit of the mastermind behind the scenes. He said it tonight. He apologized to me and said that, you know, he couldn't control me in the game, which is why he didn't want to work with me. Which, you know, I completely understand he wanted to control someone, and that's just not me. But I think it also is a testament to what a bad player Pete is. I mean, I don't think anybody as a player, especially you, Rob, who's played the game, could look at that move and say, yes, making that move on day 7 to an alliance member is a really smart decision. A smart decision would have been like, okay, well, I have the idol, I have the major alliance, I don't need this person, but I'm going to keep them close and pretend to be good friends with them and all this other stuff. So this way, me and Michael really would have been blindsided. Mm-hmm. We would have really just kept going in the game, and he would have always had the upper hand because we would have never known. So I think that's
right.
Just a testament to like new school players who sort of have like no clue what's going on but want like to play like Russell Hance.
Yes.
When they're not Russell Hance and they can't control the game like Russell Hance or do anything that's close to Russell Hance. And so when people sort of start emulating it and can't do it properly, again, you're just sitting there and you're like, stop it.
Yeah, interesting. You know, you do make a good point, because if they don't alienate you and scoop in, you guys aren't so quick to flip at the merge. And for whatever reason, if Jeff Ken didn't want to play ball, so to speak, with them, you know, they would have, you know, Pete probably would have been out of the game at that point. So it's an interesting point. Let's talk about Artis. Now, why is Artis in such a bad mood all the time? Artis does not seem to be enjoying playing Survivor.
See, the problem is that, like, none of this stuff really affected me, and I was so happy to be there that, like, I think everyone can see how happy I am on the screen. I'm always smiling and having a good time and appreciating my experience. But, yeah, I think that the environment, the rain for 17 days straight, I don't know if people really comprehend what that does to someone's psyche. It certainly didn't do it to me, because I only lost 5 pounds the entire time I was out there. And so the not eating, the not sleeping, the rain, sometimes it affects people. And I didn't even understand how it affected people, because it certainly didn't affect me.
Yeah. How about this trade for the sandwiches for the rice? You know, how much of a role did you have in all of this? And did you ultimately, you agreed with the decision, correct?
I agreed with any decision, because I was so far on the bottom that you think I was going to ruffle feathers and raise my hand and say, like, no, that's not a good decision.
Yeah.
It would have been the stupidest thing in the world. But it was really interesting that, again, I don't think you're getting the depth of what really happened. True alliances came out that day. And when we're like mud wrestling and people are saying things to the other side, because obviously deals were made in the mud with certain players. And, you know, people are saying certain things. Artist Reyes has said his hand and said, I'm only doing what Pete wants. And Pete says, I'm only doing what Artist wants. It's like, bingo. Like, does anybody else need to hear that to know what's going on?
Right.
Same thing, you know, I knew Carter and Jeff were one unit at that point. I knew that, you know, no one was really asking Lisa what she wanted. So I really tried to use the dynamics that came out of the tribe to my advantage.
Yes.
But the problem is, like, I really had non-thinkers on my tribe that really didn't want to have a discussion and didn't want to be shown the light, so to speak. And so it was really hard to really make moves because you could only make the moves based on the players that are there. You know,
okay.
It's one thing for you sitting on your podcast to say, oh, this is what they should have done. But no, chances are, it's like we tried to do it. You guys just don't see it because, A, there's not enough airtime. B, it didn't work.
Yes. How dare you imply that we don't know everything on this podcast,
right.
RC?
you know, usually, like, as a player, you understand that there's so many deals being made and so many conversations that just, unfortunately, don't get shown.
Mm-hmm. well, that's a fair point as well. Let me ask you one last question about Lisa. Did Michael ever ask you or mention to you the fact that he recognized her from television? Did he ever express that to you?
So here's the interesting part of this whole thing. This was before Lisa was really on the ins. So it was a rainy day. It was day four, and they sat there, and I don't think that they realized they weren't having a private conversation since everyone was around. But me and Abby, who were obviously still really tight at this point, were listening in, eavesdropping into the conversation. And it turns out that both of them knew each other before they even came on the island because of their ministry work together.
Interesting.
So Michael said that he saw her and watched some of her videos on YouTube, and she said the same about him. So, like, they connected on the ministry level. So the entire time you were out there, me and Abby, you know, had this conversation, so I don't think that she forgot. I knew that they had a closer connection that they were ever letting on, and I knew that they had a sub-alliance. So I also was, you know, what you don't see me doing is constantly trying to get Lisa on my side.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that we had a chance with pulling over Lisa because of this relationship that she had with Michael, which is obviously exceedingly, exceedingly strong that you guys don't get to see yet.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, maybe you need some ministry videos on YouTube, RC.
I know. What was I thinking? They should have put me with Tanner, and then there you go. We would have had a connection.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, RC, I know you got to run. Thank you so much for coming on. And RC, for, you know, we feel bad about everything you've had to go through these last couple days. We have a gift for you that we're going to send you a tundra hat to help you keep warm until the heat goes back on from our friends at Rob Has a Tundra Hat. .com and Tundra Gear and Survivor winner Otis.
Well, thank you so much for my present, and I'm sure I'll have to take a picture and send it to you guys.
Awesome.
I appreciate it. Well, thank you, RC. Thank you for that.
Yes, well done. Yeah. Thanks, RC. Keep in touch, okay, and hope you're doing okay.
Thanks so much.
All right, take care.
Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. That was RC St. Amour. Finally, get her after a couple days. After her schedule was thrown into complete havoc from Hurricane Sandy. Now, you heard us mention the Tundra hat we're going to send RC. Just a quick update for you guys. If you're looking to get a Tundra hat with winter rapidly approaching, I talked to Otis this weekend, and he wanted to offer you guys a special deal. If you've been waiting to get a Tundra hat, Otis says he is going to knock off 25% of the price of a Tundra hat for the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast. Use the promo code Rob Has a Coupon at robhasatundrahat.com. So really nice of Otis looking out for you guys. I know a lot of people are excited about getting a Tundra hat for this winter, so check that out. It's a really cool website where you can see all the different hats. Also this week, we are still trying to rock the vote. No, not for the President of the United States. something even more important. The Podcast Award of nominations have been announced, and we are nominated for a Podcast Award for Best Entertainment Podcast. So you can vote once a day at podcastawards.com for Rob Has a Podcast for Best Entertainment Podcast. And also, we're asking you vote for our friends over at the Tribe Podcast, nominated for Best Produced. Go to podcastawards.com. If you do, let us know on Twitter. Use hashtag vote RHAP, and who knows, if we win the award, I'm gonna let Dan Giesling shave my head at New Media Expo, so that'll be and I'll get divorced, so that'll all be good podcasting. So finally, then we're getting ready for tomorrow. We're gonna talk Amazing Race on Rob Has a Web Show. That'll be on Tuesday afternoon, 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. We'll also preview what is gonna come next after last week's crazy Survivor episode. And then all sorts of fun that we do on our live shows. We'll take your questions, maybe a few video calls here and there, all good stuff. And then we'll get ready to do Survivor all over again Wednesday night. We'll talk to Stephen Fishback at 9:15 p.m. Eastern for the Survivor Know-It-Alls, and then talk to the next person kicked out of the Tribe. And, of course, do our full episode recap for you guys on Thursday. So busy week as usual here at Rob as a Podcast. Hope everybody is doing great and off to a great week this week. I will be back with you on Tuesday afternoon. Talk to you later, guys. Bye.